first one's on page 22. It's from Germany. I don't think you'll have problems with the music. This is a very popular song in both Eastern and Western Germany. We had a staff member's call from Eastern Germany, and she said that at the close of every gathering during the 1980s, when they were protesting and trying to bring down the wall, that they would sing this song before they dispersed. And that's, we have a broader use than that, but that was at least part of the song's history.
Thank you.
on page 20 at the bottom.
We did this with the choir earlier.
So a song from South Africa. And I'll just sing it once. And
Tuma mina, tuma mina, tuma
tuma mina, 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 tuma mina,
besides the fact that with Eucharist at 10:20 now, we probably need to leave here a little bit early, like 9:45, and choir needs to rehearse. When did you want to meet with them, Marty? Right after this, or at 10?
We start at 10:20?
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, maybe. We're going to have a coffee break or not?
Yeah, we'll just have to leave here early for it.
Yeah. Well, we should have at least 15 minutes with choir, maybe 20.
So let's have the choir come back here at 10. We'll try to finish it. And I know people have things to put on the dot. So. What we wanted to do with this less than an hour then is to let you talk. Part of it is to give us feedback, but part of it is to for you to start processing what it does feel like to go back and to share with others what has been important, what will you remember, what has been helpful to you as you are sent out now to live the Eucharist in your own situation. That's really what sending is to be
sent out with prayer and encouragement. So anything that we can do during this week and during this next hour to encourage and support is really part of what sending is. So share, first of all, what has been encouraging to you, remarkable insights you've had, or helpful parts of this week, but also what was missing for you, what would you have liked to have gotten and didn't get. That would also be helpful input for us. And there may be suggestions about how you can get that somewhere else or through some resource. But if you were planning this, what would you have added or left out? So we'll just start it off. Paul, looks like
I want to call attention to one thing that this has been such a wonderful experience, but there are at least two different levels. One is the experience of the music and the liturgy, and the other is the experience of Holden. That when you multiply it, when you put the two together, the intensity is overwhelming at times. when I go to conferences like this, I don't always go to every session. I've learned to pace myself better. It was harder to do that here. It's extremely intense. It's wonderful, and I don't want to take anything away from it, but the double whammy.
I think we were all sitting in the planning group, but it would have been really nice to have an entire day off right in the middle of this for everyone just to not do anything that had to do with worship or meeting together. Anyway, but you can direct your comments at us, but also to each other. I want it to kind of just be a sharing myself.
What I found is at the beginning of the week, I was kind of in this mode of trying to capture everything, you know, writing down all these ideas and finding out where everything came from, and with some kind of a misguided sense of I'm going to recreate this in my church. And it took me a couple of days to realize that's, first of all, that's impossible, and secondly, that's not what I should be about. What I should be about is telling the story of my place, of my people in worship. And so whether I use these songs or original things or songs from the memory of the people at Bethel is almost beside the point. I mean, I want to find appropriate things, but it's kind of, I'm searching for a focus of the rootedness idea has really helped me envision renewed worship in my home church. And so there was a real shift for me through the week of rather than trying to encapsulate this and bring it back and, you know, let it loose, what I take is instead a motivation to find the roots and the story in my own congregation, in my own assembly, so that we can tell the story to our children.
Thank you. So connect with somebody else's spirit.
I have had the same problem that the other two gentlemen did, and I guess I try to encapsulate how am I going to get this back to my music team, my pastor, and I just decided that the change is really in me, and what I want to go back and try to share with them is, you know, just more than I can do. What I'd like to have them say to me is, what happened to you? And I'm enthusiastic, but I feel like I'm going to be flamingly enthusiastic.
At the beginning of the week, I thought, you know, I agree with everybody, there's a whole bunch of information. And I thought, I will just work on one part of the service, the gathering. That's interesting to me, and I don't think we do a great job with it. And now at the end of the week, I think, I don't know if I'll do anything specific. I'll just know that I've been changed and that I've been deepened and that I will trust that at the right time, the experiences I've had here will kind of pop out and offer themselves, you know, throughout the year in the church where I do music.
Well, as an intern, I have the privilege of being an intern, which means I have a congregation that is, you know, willing to give me space to do something. Yeah, my supervisor is talking to me about, you know, helping to plan Easter or plan a Pentecost seasonal service and to try and incorporate some of these ideas and learn to do call and response. So it's really helped my seminary education coming to this conference.
It's been a great and powerful week, and one has to continue to remember when you get back home you won't have automatic four parts. But it's been great to be with everybody, and it's been a deepening and enriching experience. I think the one piece that I, kind of on reflection, would have enjoyed doing would have been, we've heard some wonderful ideas and we've experienced and shared in some wonderful music, and we've had some deep and powerful liturgies. I think I would have loved to have just watched, and it wouldn't have needed to be the leaders, I would have loved to have watched some people plan worship. So that the transition point, which is the piece that we are the ones that always end up doing, my experience of that, which is often a real private thing in the sanctity of our own individual parishes, kept, could have been more public. And
or even given us a chance to plan, in small groups, plan mm-hmm. liturgies or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was an idea I had, was that we might have brought a project with us that we were working on, say our Pentecost liturgy or, you know, whatever we're actually working on, and we could have broken into groups and bounced that off, done some planning and refining with each other, kind of like the critique session we did with Marty yesterday mm-hmm. for music. But for some worship, we're actually working on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Each group take a season of the church here, mm-hmm. plan a service.
That's a possibility, but I think even more exciting is if you're actually doing something you actually are doing, mm-hmm. instead of mm-hmm. pretending that you're planning a season of the church here. You know, you might actually be putting your Pentecost service or your summer plans together right now, or your Easter service together right now.
I resonate with that, because when I heard Marty was going to listen to compositions, I thought, gee, it would have been nice to bring some other parts of the liturgy to have someone mm-hmm. reflect back to me how this works or doesn't work.
I would like to just commend and say thank you to each member of the planning team and the presenters, because I think that the balance that you made and the shape of the week was so enriching for me. Every single one of you brought things that just sort of lit new fires in me and made me thirstier, you know, in ways. So just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
You're even.
To me, there's something mysterious about singing in a group where you have this incredible power or sense of faith from almost everybody in the room. from the three children standing up front, singing their hearts out and knowing that song, that there's just something that moves me beyond expression to sing with all of you, to be in this room with all of these saints and sinners. That's a gift, and I'm thankful for that.
I think this is such a powerful week. I don't know what your schedules are, but you know, I think you need to be carrying this out to other areas of the country so that we can work a renewal of the church and an understanding of the roots of the liturgy and where it comes from. I think it would be very beneficial.
Can I ask a question of the group? If this were held at a seminary or at a college or at a hotel, what would the experience have been like?
Different, but still valuable.
Not different in a bad way.
No.
The food would be worse.
Yeah. But this is like the best of the best, having it up here.
What about in a parish?
Yeah.
So that the worship space becomes kind of our laboratory for a week. And invite the congregation, whether they're maybe core participants or just people coming in to experience maybe the working of the week.
Or a college campus.
I think if you were to do that too, to just do a piece of it, like do a gathering rite for 1 week, and that way people could bring instruments and write gathering rites and practice them and do them.
I don't know.
Tom, last year in my sabbatical, I tried to expand myself, and I went to a couple of the, quote, teaching parishes that are literally calling themselves the teaching parishes, Community, Joy, and Phoenix, Prince of Peace, and Burnsville, and others like that. And they're doing worship, of course, quite a bit different and emphasizing the large screens and a lot of different stuff that has very little to do with ritual or liturgy. And they're calling themselves the teaching parishes, and I think a few others have to be heard from because they're teaching the church right now.
That's true.
And so Holden and other parishes have to assume a larger role.
Have others been to places like that? I mean, is there something in the model of what they're doing, not necessarily the content, that would be helpful to? I mean, do they have week-long things?
Week-long conferences.
And institutes.
Mm-hmm. And some of it's good. I'm not saying that, but worship-wise, they're not anywhere near what we've experienced this week. Yeah.
I'll just share. I mean, this is sort of a personal search of mine because I don't sense that there are many places where you can get what we've done this week. You can get some different things at Community of Joy, but when Mary and I go out, and I don't know if this is also the case with Marty, but we're generally, if we do a workshop, it's a half a day or a whole day, and people say, well, where can we get more training? And that would be musicians as well as pastors and lay leaders. And I never know what to say because I don't know of other places. And if people do, please share those today so that we all know. But if not, then we do have to be brainstorming about a model where this happens at other places besides Holden. And if it does, how does that happen? Is it some congregation that steps forward, or is it a group like this that steps forward, or how is it organized? Is it through synods? Is it Lutheran? Is it ecumenical? Is it connected to an institution? Or is it just out there by itself? Is it for just musicians, or has it been helpful to have musicians and pastors?
Yes.
Okay. I'd be interested in, you know, what people who came by themselves versus people who are going back with some others from their parish, what that dynamic is like. Michelle, is she here? I mean, she's going back to North Dakota by herself.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
How does that feel? And I'm wondering if you did this in the future, whether you just said, you know, you can come, but you have to have a minimum of 3 from your parish in order to come, so that you're not going back alone.
Well, Tom, I don't know that we really have time for this whole discussion, but I'm so glad you brought it up, because see, for Tom, I mean, Tom, this is a seed that you have had germinating in you, and I think in a way what would be the easiest thing to do or more efficient at this point or something is if people knew that they could write to you and hold it or even talk to you or one of us before you leave about this. Because what I've heard Tom talk about is like an institute or having, like he's just said, a place where you could keep this going. And I think that's what you said is so important, that we need to have another teaching model that we call that. But the questions that you're asking, Tom, are help. We need to figure those out. Is it ecumenical? Is it Lutheran? Is it here? Is it in a parish? Is it at a school? And if you have any ideas about that, I think both of you really have to know.
So it doesn't have to be now.
I'm curious, Marty, do you work primarily with Catholic groups?
Or? About 2/3 of what I do is for Roman Catholics and about 1/4 for Lutherans, and the rest is all over the map. But more and more, I will do a workshop, and it'll be sponsored by a Catholic church, and there'll be a dozen Lutherans there, and you know, it depends on how well it's advertised.
Yeah.
I like it when it's ecumenical. Precisely because there's a conversation that enriches the vision.
One place that comes close, and it's not necessarily about liturgy, but it is, is the Guild. I mean, that.
You want to just explain what that is? So
or the Northwest, anyway. The Grunewald Guild is in Plain, which is about a half an hour from Leavenworth. And it's was started 20 years ago by Rich and Liz Kammerer. And Rich Kammerer is a worldwide known church artisan. And he comes in and helps churches design their spaces and specializes in stained glass. And they have every summer, and it's year-round, they have retreats there and so forth, but basically in the summer they have a full summer of courses, week-long courses, and the focus is primarily visual arts, but they do a wonderful job. It's sort of a Holden Village out, more accessible to those of us in the Northwest. And but if anybody's interested, I'm sure, I think, don't they have, I thought I saw brochures up by the register. And that's a great place also for some real opportunities in alternative thinking.
Especially for artists, a church artist I know that was just making banners in a church in a kind of a, you know, it was fine, but they were not necessarily greatly inspired. Went to Grunewald Guild, and the things that she came back with, she was transformed and came back feeling like she was a real artist and could make something very deep and creative.
And it's a very sacred place, very mindful of spirit and grace.
And really has some deep connections with Holden and sort of has spun off of Holden in some ways.
Right.
If any of you would like to see if any of you would like to see a Kammerer window and you live in the Puget Sound area, I'd invite you to stop by Bethel of Shoreline. We put a new window in last year, and it's, you know, standard, you know, sort of barn-shaped church. And it's ground to pinnacle. The whole west end of the church is the story of Bethel, the Jacob's dream in this window. It's quite amazing.
And I was sort of, I know it's time for them to talk, but I wanted to say one thing. One of the things that would have to be thought through very carefully is Dan's presentation yesterday was extraordinary. because he could just sort of have these resources to say, look at this and this and this and this. In addition, I think if those of us who have been planning this had come into a place that didn't have the kind of living, active tradition like Holden had, it would have been a lot more work to sort of make the prayer happen in the same way. I'm not saying it can't happen, but I think if we were going to go somewhere, there'd have to be real thoughtfulness about what access we have to those kind of both worship resources and other kinds of resources. Because you just, I think what makes worship and worship life meaningful is a framework in which there's been a life lived, and to sort of drop into somewhere is much harder to create it.
Yeah.
I want to mention in Northern California, we have a worship conference the weekend after Easter every year. It's at Mount Cross, which is kind of a rustic camp in the Redwoods. This year we'll have Rich Kimmerer and Randy Sensmeyer from GIA, and Amy Schifrin will be our worship leader. We did have Marty there about 4 or 5 years ago. So it started out as sort of for organists and choir directors, and it's kind of evolved. And so that's a yearly thing, quite inexpensive. If you'd like a brochure, see me about that. I'm the coordinator for that.
Others want to share things that they learned here that have been helpful, or things that, again, were missing that if a future thing is planned, you really want to see that included, or something that you really are still struggling with that you didn't hear about or addressed?
Yeah. I like the focus primarily on the Sunday morning liturgy, but as a piece of a week-long retreat, it might be nice to look a little bit at occasional services and to see what ideas and energy are present here for Sunday morning liturgy, to expand out to those.
I also thought if you were going to expand or change the focus at some point, you had one session that was called a reading session. And if you were to expand that area at all, it might be helpful to have organ or piano music selections. And you know, I guess that would be probably the headliner person that you'd need to bring in, perhaps, that would have expertise in that area. But that's helpful for me in preparing, you know, sometimes eight pieces a week. I always want not necessarily to do Bach and Buxtehude, you know, I want new stuff, and Emma Redeemer and all kinds of new stuff, and I'd be curious. That's expanding this focus a little bit, but if you were to do that.
That's typical in some of these conferences that we're mentioning, isn't it? To have breakouts that then, like if a group of pastors and musicians and lay leaders were meeting for a conference, mm-hmm. sometimes wouldn't there be like a whole day of just breakouts where you would go to a specific thing that would be on? But then remind me what some are the helpful breakouts are besides like an organ keyboard reading. You could have like choir music, obviously, for choir directors.
Well, we had originally thought when we first planned this that there would be times when the preachers would gather by themselves and talk about preaching, the musicians would do more musical work. And we ended up thinking that a bunch of stuff was important for everyone to hear because it's typical for musicians to kind of be gone when we talk about the word, and pastors to be gone when we talk about leading the assembly song. And so we ended up keeping a lot of things together, but there could have been more breakouts that got more concrete and specific.
Rather than making the conference smaller or the workshop smaller, it would maybe be helpful to expand it another day or two so that you could have those breakout times and not diminish the content of what you've presented.
And I think some ways, just in terms of logistically, it would have to be larger. I want to, again, thank Mary and Marty for, you probably don't know that they flew from Minneapolis at their own expense and took a week off of work and aren't getting paid anything and had used their own money to get here. So
I wasn't working anyway.
Yeah.
And Dan,
took vacation and came out here.
And Dan is here, you know, on a sort of a 3-week stand, and Susan and I are doing part of it as part of our responsibilities at the village. But to do this again, you know, I think we'd have to be more people to, I don't think that people can do that all the time.
One of the things that's exciting, you know, many of us go to a lot of conferences to continue growing, and it is such a marvel to watch people who individually have a pretty significant roadshow. And you know, you guys all do this, but you do it in different configurations. Normally, when people get together, it's very rare that we see leaders being collaborative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which models for us a tremendous image of what being in the parish with people together can be. Yep. So I particularly thank you for that kind of model.
I just have to say I'm grateful to my colleagues for that too, because you can be in these kind of situations that you're mentioning and run into some kind of ego problems. And I'd have to say that thankfully there was a lot of levity in this group.
Yes.
And that always works well for collaborations, I think.
I would resonate though with whatever was said about we discussed the possibility of having a planning meeting, fishbowl kind of thing, and I think for some reason we decided not to.
A worship planning meeting.
A worship planning meeting. Mm-hmm. But I think what we were doing was very much like worship planning a lot of the time. We were planning worship. But even when we were giving talks, we were thinking about it from a context of how you're building up faith in the community. So it was like that. And I think in the future, whether it was a role active one or a real one, what might be interesting at the beginning of the week to say at the end of the week we're going to have a Eucharist, and not the whole group plan it, but maybe the staff plan it, and everyone sit around and sort of see how this is wrestled out.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you modeled so many things in so many ways that maybe you weren't even aware of, and that was so helpful that for those of us who aren't trained theologians and are lay people who get some of this by education and some by just osmosis of living with a person who thinks those ways that I don't think. And how important that is, I think, to remember when we go back to the congregations, because most of us sitting in the pew don't have the thought processes that many of you have and are gifted to have, but are also working at getting better at. And it was just so helpful to understand that so much of worship planning comes from knowing what you're doing. And and that many of us in the congregation need to be taught that. But first, before you're taught it, you need to be aware of it. And you did that in so many wonderful ways that are going to go back and help us to be better teachers, and first of all, to be aware of what we're teaching.
One thing that I thought was so nice was the accessibility that we had to you people, like in the lunchroom. It was very nice. One day we got to, Mary was at the same table with the rest of us. You didn't all just go and always sit over in your own corner together. I know sometimes you need to do that. Sometimes you probably need to just get away from the rest of us. But it was really nice to just be able to sit down in the dining hall and chat and have that accessibility.
Should also thank the other village folks who took all of our dish. None of us had dish team this week, and it was a tremendous. It doesn't sound like a big deal, but it is a really big deal that we have to do dish team, which is really part of being this community. But other people took that over for us while we were here, and thanks to you folks up there.
This experience was a lot like two events that took place in the early 90s at Mundelein, St. Mary of the Lake, University of St. Mary of the Lake, Chicago, an organization that started and died with a poorly chosen name called the Lutheran Spirituality Association. But they tried to do something. It was Gracia Grendahl and Tim Lull. But there are some, they were the keynote people both times, representing an interest in a renewed spiritual life. And actually what fed that group at its two gatherings was that's when the hymn supplement came out. Mm-hmm. And that the liturgy and the music and the worshiping environment in that community, it was a lot like this with a very specific kind of music. And they wanted to get an ongoing structure, and it died for lack of funding. There was hope for some sort of grant from one of the foundations to help it, but there are some frustrated people with that who had a vision for something that could keep going and offered kind of the same experiential, learning, faith-deepening sort of event. And might be helpful sometime to talk with, I know some of the people who are involved in leadership there, you might want to talk with them to pursue this vision more for them.
Anything else to share? Any other leaders want to share?
If I had one final thing to say, it's the luxury of this for me was when I worked full-time at a parish, I didn't have the opportunities to sit down with a group the way we had, where we could block out time. And I know how frustrating it is in a parish. And the one thing I would say is be really patient with yourself. I think that was a good insight to say, I'll do what I can when it feels right, and I'll carry within me the memory of what's possible. Because you could really, I had a really deep depression after my first time going to a conference like this. I realized within the first week that not a whole lot was going to change for a while. But I remembered that conference, and when the time came and I felt the courage and the support of that event to bring to when the time was right.
One thing I realized that's important to me is my sense of how the village, the community at the village has grown over the years. I know they weren't worshiping like this a few years ago, so it's very heartening to me. You know, I may not have learned a lot of new things here. I mean, a lot of this fit the way I do. I have seen now how doing it this way over a period of years bears fruit, and the community will deepen and grow around it and with it. So,
Susan and Maya, are you listening to that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Speaking of the village itself, I'd like to say something about that. And that's that I have been dismayed increasingly in the last years over what's happening environmentally and in the Pacific Northwest. I'm sort of involved in salmon recovery issues. And sometimes I feel really discouraged by consumerism and by, well, a bunch of things. You know, you all can imagine. If you and it's been nice being here, right down to scraping those plates clean and, you know, recycling everything and the emphasis on living in a place like this and being able to coexist with the natural world. And that's been kind of a relief for me to be somewhere that modeled that. I've really enjoyed that.
And thanks for being willing to live on 35 kilowatts. It will just seem like tremendous abundance when you all leave and we still have 35 kilowatts. What will we do with all that? Make toast. Make a shower.
Well, we've talked about the real challenge to come from this incredible high back to worship life in our own communities where we have these dreams and goals. And I think it's boiled down to like one issue for me, and that's what is authentic worship. And the sense here is that everyone is a participant. I mean, as worship leaders, you have this ability to evoke from us participation through movements and through song and through prayer. And I guess that's my one hope and goal is to return, is how can worship not be a spectator sport, but be participatory?
I have a need to receive more, and I'm just wondering if it's realistic to think of a biennial event such as this here, perhaps making it later in the spring or early in the fall, when you could accommodate more people.
I don't think any of us can answer that, but and unfortunately, Mary and Marty leave when you do, so we don't have, I mean, it'd be nice to have a whole weekend to kind of debrief each other. But that's... we'll keep on conversation. I mean, I think what we're hearing is that something needs to continue. What it will be, I don't know, and who it would involve or where it would be. So, thank you.
One of the things would be, those of us who have experienced this, the second time the word goes out, the seed hits the starts to grow, that the next time there should be a tuition fee that covers the expenses, and that says these great leaders that, I can take a week out of work because I will be rich. I mean, I'm sure you've been compensated. I don't mean it that way, but we just can't ask you to do it for nothing.
Repeatedly.
And so the next time, I mean, I was really, when I went to pay the bill, I was really surprised. I thought, well, where's the tuition? Mm-hmm. And there was no tuition. There was no fee. And so that...
They probably accept some extra.
What's the offering at the Eucharist? Thank you.
I think the biggest frustration for me this week is I wish everybody else was here. You know, they hear all this. And I'm telling everybody, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. This would be so great. And I think we could have it like in the summer. I know this is the perfect setting for it, you know, right in this room. But it's kind of cliquish. I wish more could share. And I just think the summer, I know it took years of planning to do this, but it would be so nice to share with so many others and come. The other thing I was going to say is, for me, I think one of the most important parts to me was setting apart the seasons. I really enjoyed hearing that. To do things differently, to highlight each season. That was really specifically good.
I have a question about, I've seen this model so well twice in groups this size. How have you folks, how has it been when you're in a place where there's 400 people?
Yeah.
Does it work?
Exciting.
There's 400 and 500 or 300?
Well, thinking about the one with the three of us did too. Oh, yeah.
I did one at a parish. In fact, it's every single year on Big Island, Hawaii. It's a parish that has a social. It's all in their social hall, which is about the size, it's a little bit bigger than this room, but they pack 400 people in. And it is incredible. Then they use the nearby school for breakout sessions. And worship in there is sort of like electrifying. It's uncomfortable, but it's powerful. And part of it is that we are welcomed into the parish, which already has a vibrant and really powerful worship life. And at the close of the event, all 400 people celebrate their weekend liturgy, which is completely led by the parish. That is wonderful.
Well, you know, that's what I'm really asking myself, which is the question someone raised earlier. Because we Marty and Tom and I did this, something similar to this at Luther Northwestern.
A one-day.
Just a one-day event. But we were worshiping there in their chapel. I think the connection to the community. Someone said earlier, Susan, I don't think you were here, about how being part of the Holden community has enriched this so much. It's really hard to separate. I'm having a hard time sitting here thinking about
the difference of, and now when you mentioned that at Malia Marty in Hawaii, I think that really deepens and makes a conference like this much more rich.
If you're looking for another experience of that, I can give you their phone number. It's the first weekend in November, and it sounds like it'd be, you know, going to Hawaii, but it's on the west side of the islands. The hotel rooms are about $40 a night. And the keynote speaker this year is John Bell. It's a pretty good conference. They also have workshops on healing and massage.
My wife is. We're about out of time. We're going to close with a song from Marty. But I also want to just say wonderful compliments, and it's been such a joy for all of us, but also thanks on behalf of the Holden community, and we just appreciate your continued support of the village itself, particularly as it now faces a leadership change and continues on into the next millennium. Come back, and we need your presence here during the summer and volunteering. And if you know any musicians who want to come in August to replace me, Lion would be appreciative. Somebody who wants a really wonderful experience planning worship 365 days a year. It's quite wonderful. And another couple weeks, we'll be able to see out these windows and have a lot of light. And Susan?
I'd like to add my word of thanks to Marty Hogan and Mary Preuss and Dan Erlander for traveling to join Tom and me in this community. A wonderful experience of working with five people, each of whom is probably used to running something like this alone. And has the capacity, the leadership skill to just do it. And it's been such a grace to work with them and to see how people can bend one to another for the sake of the whole. But thank you also to each of you for coming. As I watched you get off the bus, I don't know to whom I said this, but I said, I think this is what the reign of God is. People you haven't met yet who you know you're going to learn to love, and people whom you have loved that you thought you might not see again, all in one place. So I'm so grateful for you coming, for your willingness to be part of this community. Someone, I think Tom said at the first session, that Holden had changed its liturgy to make room for you. I would say, no, we didn't. We laid down a piece of our lives in order that you could enter our liturgy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think hospitality is. We didn't change our liturgy. We welcomed you into the deepest part of the rhythms of our life together. And to make that happen is that we died to some of the stuff we usually have. And I think that's a sign for what you can do in your own parishes too. Not to change the liturgy, but to ask what you can die to in order to make the worship of God accessible to all who come. So thank you for being signs of the reign of God among us and for coming.
Yeah, let's give all of us.
Close enough to one of the white booklets to see it.
Might have to share.
We're short. We're going to sing a hymn. As Susan would say, there is nothing like a hymn. Mary's going to sing the first verse. It's on page 10. You should probably stand, I think. If you can't see a booklet, why don't you sort of look for someone?
Thank you.
Those of you who can sing in the choir and have time to gather back here at 10, that would be great. Otherwise, it's 10:20 back in this room. And a reminder that there's slips for ordering tapes on that door. And I just have 20 copies of Lalo Lilo. That's all the copier would do this morning. So if people who are together could share.